We are pausing just for this Sunday in our sermon series so that we might focus on the table and communion this morning. Two short verses this morning, one from the Gospel of Mark, one from the Gospel of Matthew, remind us about a variety of things that are taking place on the night when Jesus and his disciples are gathering together for their final meal. I invite you to hear these two verses and think about all the things that were taking place in the upper room that evening. From the Gospel of Mark, we read, "Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, 'Rabbi,' and kissed him." In the Gospel of Matthew, we read, Jesus says, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word today. There was so much going on that night. There were so many things happening as Jesus was trying to spend the last few moments of his earthly life with his disciples. There were mixed feelings in that room. There was sorrow. There were concerns. There was anger. There was much confusion. I've often wondered, what would it have been like to sit with Jesus and the disciples in that upper room and to experience everything they experienced in that last meal with Jesus? The other thought I've had as we often gather around this table is, I also wonder, what was it like just a few years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the decade or two after, what was it like for the early Christians when they gathered together to observe this meal? We know how we celebrate it. We are familiar with our practice of communion. But what was it like in the early church? Can you imagine gathering with 15 or 20 of your close friends and your family members in a small house and sharing a meal together? And as you share that meal, remembering Jesus, worshiping God, what must that have been like? In both the upper room and in those early gatherings of the Christian church around the table, I think it was powerful. It was an overwhelming experience. That close to the life of Jesus, to go through something he had done with his disciples and to experience what it meant. Sometimes I wish we could recapture some of the excitement, some of the deep meaning that this meal surely had for the early church. They gathered around that table for many reasons. They did so because their Lord commanded them to do it. They gathered to remember the words and actions of Jesus. They gathered to remember his sacrifice. This meal was the central focus of their worship services. It was such a powerful, meaningful time for the early church. In fact, it was so powerful, so meaningful, there are historical records that those outside of the church couldn't understand why this meal, this table, was so significant to the early followers of Jesus. All of these were reasons the early church gathered around the table. But I believe there was one more very significant reason that they gathered around the table. Yes, Jesus told them to. Yes, they wanted to remember. But I also believe in the early days of the Christian church, they were experiencing some very difficult times. And it is in trying and difficult times of life that they met to share communion, to gather around the Lord's table, to experience assurance, to receive encouragement for the difficult and dangerous task of being a follower of Christ in those early years. They needed assurance. Don't we all need that? Can't you see the early Christians gathering around this small meal? And as they do so, they are encouraging one another. They're talking about the difficulties of life, trying to be a Christian at a time where it was often against the law, when they faced persecutions that we can't even imagine. They gather around this meal and they talk and they share the trials and difficulties of the past week and what they've experienced and what they've gone through. And as they share this meal, they are worshiping Christ, but they are also receiving encouragement from one another. They are receiving assurance from God to face the hardships and the difficulties that being a Christian entailed in the early years of the Christian church. Those early Christians needed the same message the disciples of Jesus needed in the upper room. They needed assurance for the dark and difficult time they were going through. They needed renewed confidence that God was going to be with them as they remembered what Jesus said, as they remembered his attitude as he gathered with his disciples. They were encouraged. They were assured that even in the difficulties of their life, God was with them. The more I think about that scene, the more incredible it becomes to me. Jesus, the night of the Lord's Supper, was facing the most difficult time he had ever been through. He was standing on the edge of a dark chasm. He was looking at a looming crisis that would end in his physical death. People were against him. They were dogging his every steps. They were intent on spilling his blood. So Jesus arranged for a meal, a small amount of a few hours with his closest friends, that he might try to prepare them for everything that was about to happen. But even in that difficult moment, he also faced betrayal. We read it. One of his closest and dearest friends didn't help the situation, magnified it by doing the unthinkable, strategizing behind the back of Jesus to bring about destruction. Imagine the pain of that experience for Jesus. But on top of all of that, he knows he is facing the excruciating ordeal of the Roman cross. Jesus could foresee that in the next few hours, he knew what lay ahead of him, dying at the hands of those who hated him, who were filled with anger, and he would go through the agony and unbearable experience of this almost by himself. For us, we get to turn over just a few pages and we read about the resurrection. We get to turn over just a few more pages and we get to read about his ascension to heaven. So for us, it's a very small amount of time before we quickly go to the joy of the resurrection that we know and experienced on Easter Sunday. But for Jesus, in the upper room, what loomed ominously ahead of him was a cross and a tomb. And yet, this is what's so amazing. In the midst of all of those things going on, this dark chasm he's facing, the betrayal of his close friends, the agonizing experience he knows is coming in just a few hours, in the midst of all of that, there is this certainty about him. There is this confidence that he has in his life. Yes, he knows death is coming. That's on his mind. But the other certainty for Jesus, the other certainty was that God's purposes would win. For in talking to his disciples, Jesus said, we read it, I will drink no more from the fruit of the vine until I drink it afresh in the kingdom of God. In the midst of this difficult time, he is looking to God's ultimate victory. What a clue to the mind of Jesus. He had absolutely no doubt that God's activity in this world would turn out exactly the way God wanted it to. Nothing and nobody would prevent God from realizing God's redemptive purposes in this world. Even in the midst of all that was happening on that evening, Jesus was assured, and his words and his attitude gave his disciples in the upper room and in the few years following the assurance they needed to face the difficulties of life. Sure, there's a touch of sadness in the words from Jesus. He knows his relationship with his disciples is about to change. It's about to end. Jesus would no longer walk the dusty trails of Palestine with them. He would no longer teach them. He would no longer perform miracles in their midst. He would no longer disciple them. He would no longer inspire them in his physical presence the way he had always done. But still, in his heart and core, Jesus knew something else. The time in the upper room was also a new beginning. Instead of defeat, what was about to happen on Golgotha would be a victory. Jesus knew God would take that horrible, difficult experience, and through God's power, God would turn it into something useful and beneficial for what God was doing in this world. As the disciples gathered with Jesus in the upper room, they had in their mind, they were very familiar with the Jewish belief of a messianic banquet that would come at the very end of the age. They knew all about this. And that Last Supper with Jesus, it was a foretaste of that kind of messianic banquet that would come. But it was even more than that. The Last Supper with Jesus was also a pledge of reassurance. It was a pledge of reassurance, of assurance, that no matter what happened in life, through the difficult times of life, God would use those circumstances for good. On the other side of what seemed to be defeat would be God's glorious triumph. On the other side of death awaited resurrection. That's true for all of us. One person wrote that because of Jesus' confidence, because of his assurance in the upper room in ultimate victory, because of his reassuring words and attitudes in the darkness of that difficult night, the Lord's Supper for us is a celebration. This meal was a celebration for the early disciples, and it is for us as well. This meal becomes a joyous occasion for us to look toward God's victory in all of our lives and for the fulfillment of God's purposes in this world. This morning, as we gather around this table, remember the reassuring words of Jesus. Remember the assurance and the confidence that Jesus had during the most difficult time of his life. For the reality is, dark times occur in all of our lives. Dark hours come to all of us. As one person has written, the only life possible is life with an imminent sense of death always standing at the door. And when these times come, times of personal doubt, times of seeming defeat, we need the assurance of this table. We need the reassurance that comes only from God. Just like the disciples in the upper room needed this assurance from Christ, we need it to face the situations and circumstances of our lives. As a parent, as a grandparent, we often have those touching moments in life when a child or a grandchild comes to you wanting nothing more than just a reassuring word. a reassuring touch, a reassuring hug. They just want to know you're there. They just want to know you love them. They just want to know that you're going to be with them and that everything's going to be okay. We do the same thing with God. And especially as we gather around this table, we remember all that Jesus did for us, but we also recognize sometimes we just need the presence of God for the reassurance of living life in these days. Jesus said he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. So this morning, maybe you too gather around this table because you need assurance. Maybe things in your life are difficult. Maybe there are trying times you are facing at work or at home or in the family or whatever. Maybe you need the assurance that comes from Christ, just like the disciples needed it in the upper room, just like the early Christians needed it every time they gathered around this table. If so, this morning, come to this table with the confidence that your assurance will be renewed. Your assurance will be renewed not because you eat a small cracker, not because you drink a sip of grape juice. Your assurance will be renewed because of the promises of God in your life. And this table reminds us of that truth. We who follow Christ are on the winning team. Not because of the difficulties and the dangers and the threats and the failures of our life, but because we have ultimate victory through Jesus. The poet Wendell Berry says, "The Christian's job is to practice resurrection." As we gather around this table, we practice resurrection, and we do so by remembering the reassuring words of Jesus and the reassuring presence that he had for his disciples. So this morning, let this table strengthen your confidence. Let the powerful presence of God reassure you that God does not fail. For whatever you are facing, God is there. That is our hope. My friends, that is God's grace. And this table is a table of assurance. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful that in the good and the bad of life, you are there. We are grateful, God, that we can gather around this table to give thanks for who you are and what you have done for us. And as we do so, to remember that you are always with us. And we can live each and every day with the assurance of your presence in every aspect of life. So, Lord, this morning, as we prepare our hearts to commune with you, where we need you the most, give us your assurance. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.